Well, please do take a seat and have that passage open in front of you, Mark chapter 5, page 40. I want to tell you about a friend of mine from Oak Hill. He applied for a job at a church back in September, and this church were quite slow at getting back to him. They took their time giving him any answers whatsoever, and they took their time giving answers that were clear. So if I were him, I would have been panicking, I would have gotten very cross, very frustrated, and wondering what on earth I was going to do, and my wife would have had less sleep. My friend did not do that. He kept praying. He kept praying in his own gentle, Mancunian way. But as the year came to an end, things were still not sorted. He was about to get married, and neither of them had any idea where they were going to live or where any money would come from until about 4 days before the wedding, when the church finally got back to him in June to say yes to a job he'd applied for in September. Thankfully, Poynton works much faster. At no point did my friend's trust in God waver. At no point did he give in to desperation. And I think even if the church had said no, his faith in God would have stayed the same. So for me, he is an example of the faith we see in this passage. As Rob said earlier, we're carrying on looking at some of the striking things Jesus has said in Mark's gospel. Words have power, especially Jesus. Because he's God. He's God the Son with all the authority of God the Father to speak the truth. And already 5 chapters into Mark, we've seen Jesus has power and authority over God's word and God's world. He's healed disease, he's fed 5,000 people, he's calmed a storm, and he's taught with authority God's word. Because Jesus is fully God and fully man. And the words he speaks in our passage this morning come halfway through a familiar true story. Jesus has been begged by Jairus, a local synagogue leader, to get to his house now because his daughter is dying. There is no time to lose. So off they go. And on the way, Mark describes for us a woman who knows what pain and suffering feels like. She has suffered blood hemorrhages for 12 years. 12 years. I finished school 12 years ago, just to cheer you up. 12 years of constant pain, suffering, embarrassment, desperation. And the doctors have not been able to help. Desperation, desolation, she must have lost hope by now. And socially, she would have been an outcast. No one would go near her. Personally, she couldn't think about anything else. And of course, debilitating diseases are not fun. And that's putting it mildly, isn't it? Perhaps we have loved ones this morning who are going through similar things. Or maybe you're with us this morning and you are in the middle of some kind of suffering like this woman. If so, well done for coming. The other thing we find out about this woman, she's heard about Jesus. She's heard all about him, and she's desperate. If I but touch his clothes, I'll be made well, she says. So as Jesus walks by, she just reaches out and just touches him as he goes past. Fleeting glimpse, barely gets her fingers on him. And that's all she needs. Because notice what happens. She is healed. And she is healed immediately. It's not a stage-by-stage process. Just like that, she is better. And that is how powerful Jesus is. He is the God-man. 12 years of pain and embarrassment just gone. Jesus' work is that powerful. And so are his words. All of this happens so fast. The woman touches him. She's healed. And Jesus, knowing exactly what is going on, calls out, "Who was that? Who touched me?" And after some dithering from the disciples, this healed woman of faith steps forward. Maybe she slowly puts her hand in the air and says, "Me, I touched you." And so we reach our saying of Jesus this morning. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Her faith has made her well. Faith is what healed her. Faith is what has released her from her bondage to disease, a disease that probably was going to kill her. What's made this woman better? Or a better question is, what hasn't made her better? The Judean National Health Service haven't made her better. And she hasn't made herself better. She has not followed a self-help plan. She has not watched a DVD with Bear Grylls or Rosemary Connolly. There we go, that's going back a bit. She didn't follow any kind of self-help plan. It wasn't her effort. It was faith. It was faith in a God that could make her better. A God who could heal. A God who has compassion. Now, faith's a funny word, isn't it? In our culture, faith isn't really a positive word. In our culture, faith means blind trust. No evidence, you just go for it. Nice if it works out for you, but probably not the best thing to do. That's what faith means in our culture. But is that the kind of faith this woman has? No, it's not. She has plenty of evidence. She didn't just see Jesus one day and go, "I know, his clothes look a little bit touch-worthy. I'll go with that." She has plenty of evidence. She's heard exactly who Jesus is. And so have we. We have the Bible. We know everything we need to know about Jesus because it is written down for us in words we can understand. In the Bible, faith is trust. It is dependence. It is dependence on something solid. It's latching on to someone who will help you, rescue you, and secure you. Like a child reaching out to a parent, especially in a noisy toddler group when all you can see is strangers. Or a life belt to someone in a storm. Again, quite comparable to a toddler group, I've noticed. Or even faith each one of us has every time we sit down. Because we have faith the chair is going to hold us. It leads to some fun comedy moments when our faith is misplaced in that chair. But faith in something solid. This woman had that faith, says Jesus. Faith that he and he alone could rescue her. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful at this point because it wasn't that she had extra special faith that caused her healing. As opposed to someone who might have had a similar condition and believed in the same God, but whose faith wasn't as strong. That is not the faith we're talking about here. And why not? Why can't that be true? Well, because if it was true she had a special faith that caused her healing, then faith becomes a work that we do. If it's about having this kind of special faith that makes God do things, the power has gone from God and it has gone to me. I can say to God, "Do this, please," and he will do it. He's the God of the universe. I'm a very small person. My effort. That is not biblical faith. That is not the faith that God gives us. Faith is God given. It's not something we come up with. So if we teach that God will make our lives better if our faith is strong enough, we're not teaching what the Bible says. We're making false promises, and we are hurting people. And there are plenty of people out there who will teach that sort of thing and say, if you want to get better, you need stronger faith. So if you're not better, it's your fault. If anyone says that to you, they're wrong. Smile and nod and send them my way. This faith the woman has is an example to us because it tells us the right response. Faith is not a work, but faith works. Faith is not a work, but faith works. Because faith is a response. It's saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't make myself right with God. I need God to make me right with him. It's a right assessment of the human condition. Because in lots of ways, we are very similar to the woman in our passage. In that we are all born with a debilitating disease. It is called sin. It affects one in one people. It is highly contagious. It is hereditary. And it is 100% guaranteed to be passed on to the next generation. And it's fatal. We're born sick. We need healing just like this woman does. But we don't need aspirin or paracetamol. We need a blood transfusion. We need a heart transplant. The gospel, that is the change that we need. The gospel is not this, okay? I caught the bug, the sin bug. I was always quite well until I spent time with certain people that had the sin bug, and they've infected me. So what I just need the Jesus medicine to make me well again. That's not the gospel. That is not the gospel, because we are born sick with sin. And we act like it because it's our nature. We want to sin. We are passive in this equation. Don't let this get up fool you. If you want to see how sinful I am, either come and live with me for a week, or if you want to have a shortcut, just ask my wife. She will happily explain it to you. This woman is sick physically and spiritually. So she needs healing. And so she reaches for the only permanent remedy, Jesus Christ. Her God-given faith rescues her. Her 12 years of bleeding are over because Jesus shed his own blood on the cross. That's the rescue remedy for sin. His blood cleanses ours. He takes all of our badness and gives us his goodness. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We just receive through the empty hands of faith. J.C. Ryle was the first ever Bishop of Liverpool, and he's a bit of a hero of mine, and he wrote this. Faith brings an empty hand, receives everything, and can give nothing in return. No grace is so important to the Christian's own soul. That is Jesus' hard teaching this morning. Sickness needs healing and we can't do anything about it. Instead, we open to receive through empty hands of faith the rescue Jesus brings. Now, this is a hard teaching. This is a hard teaching because it goes exactly against what our culture believes. And our culture believes two big things. First thing is, we're basically good. Second thing is, if we mess up, we can sort it out. That's what our culture believes. But Jesus is telling us the opposite. There's nothing we can do or say to escape the disease of our sin. So we reach out in desperation as Jesus moves past, like a life belt in a storm. So this morning, a question for you. What is your faith in? What is your faith in? Everybody has a faith. Everybody does. Even if you have a faith that there is no God, you believe and trust there is no God. That is a faith. Or maybe it's in other things. Maybe we have faith in ourselves and what we can do. Or whether we have faith in the job that we have or had. Or what our education was. Or our personality. I have faith that I have quite a likable, charming personality. Hint. Or perhaps we have faith in our connections or our friendships. Or perhaps we have faith in our government. Somebody might. Or maybe we have faith in the NHS or something like that. So here's a litmus test. When something like that or someone fails, how annoyed do you get? If something fails and you get so annoyed about it, that is probably what your faith is in. So for me, I get annoyed with myself. I get annoyed with myself and I get anxious if people don't affirm me. That is not a hint. Because my faith tends towards external validation. So I need to remember who my faith needs to be directed towards. What about you? Well, we can think on these things, can't we, as we share communion together. And it is appropriate that we share communion together because communion is expressing the same trust and dependence that the woman does in our passage. Because we're relying on a past completed action with continuous consequences, and we see in the visible words of the sacrament a reminder. It is by a trusting dependence on God's act, Jesus' broken body and shed blood that saves us alone. We even hold out empty hands to receive in communion. It is an exercise of this faith and dependence. So trust him. Trust him. If you are here and you have not trusted Jesus before, do it today. It'll be the best thing you ever do. If you are here for the thousandth time, trust him again. We don't just trust Jesus once and then move on. We continually, daily need to go back to the foot of the cross, where his arms are opened wide for us to receive him every day. So as we close, we're going to take part in what has been called the chief exercise of faith, prayer. So let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us at our most unlovely. That Jesus heals us of our sickness called sin through his death and resurrection. Help us to realize our standing before you and our need to open empty hands. We cannot offer anything to you. We cannot plead our case before you based on anything we've said or done or what others have said or done. Help us to hold fast to you, just as that woman did. And with that in mind, I pray particularly for any here who are struggling, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Please, with this passage, encourage them to hold out to you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.